So good today to have Mel and Jan Wingrove with us, and Brother Mel is going to come and share with us what the Lord has laid upon his heart today.
We work for an organization called EMU International, and we are working in Uruguay, Chile, Peru, Mexico, Croatia, Cambodia. We'll have China in January. We have France. And we have one family working the 1040 window. We have a new missionary in a new country of about 4 months ago, and we have someone in India now. So we'll tell you more about that this evening and share with you a message about missions this evening. The message this morning is primarily taken out of John chapter 10. Let's have a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your Holy Spirit who guides us into all truth. We pray that you would help today as I present your word and help the listeners that they might hear and do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. How many of you have ever shepherded sheep? Okay, let me give you a little bit of a lesson about sheep first so you understand what we're doing, okay? In the United States of America, when we have sheep, we fence them off in the field, okay? And the farmer checks on them every once in a while, and sometimes when the ewe, E-W-E, the ewe, is having a lamb, he may have to help the ewe, mama sheep, deliver the baby. We have a neighbor who has sheep, so that's why I know that. In the East, when in Jesus' day, it was completely different. There was open range. And all of the shepherds would sometimes meet together at the well in order that the sheep would get water. And all the flocks would be together. And when the shepherd was ready to leave, he would call to his sheep, and the shepherd would start off down the trail, and all of his sheep would fall in line behind him and follow him. The rest of the sheep that belonged to the other shepherds did not follow that shepherd who just called his sheep and headed off down the field with them. The people of Jesus' day knew about sheep and shepherds because that's what they did, most of them, for a living. Jesus calls himself a shepherd. Those who have received him as their Savior, he calls us sometimes his sheep and sometimes his lambs. And so you have to understand when we're talking about the shepherd's voice, we're talking about the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the good shepherd. And when he's calling for his sheep, he's talking about us who are believers, that we hear his voice. To him, that is the good shepherd, the porter, that's the gatekeeper, openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. We're talking about the good shepherd. He calls us, his sheep, his lambs, and he knows them by name. The bank knows you because you have an account number. You are a number, okay? Your driver's license is a number. And the policeman, when he looks at your number, can type it into his computer in the car, and he knows everything about you. You have a Social Security number. Those of you who are older, okay? You have a Social Security number. We have a lot of numbers. Jesus knows every one of us by name. Those sheep are his. We are not a number to God. God doesn't give you a number like 2,567,000, okay? You have a name, and he knows who that is. Notice it says, and he leadeth them out. I want to concentrate particularly on this phrase, the sheep hear his voice. The question is, do you hear the voice of the shepherd? And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. God's sheep hear his voice. They recognize his voice. I can call a lot of people on the phone that I know really well, and as soon as they answer the phone, I know who it is because I recognize them by their voice. You also know a lot of people, and as soon as they call and they start talking, you don't have to say, "Who is this?" You know who it is because you recognize their voice. It's not something strange to us that we recognize someone's voice when we know them well. They talk to us often, even though we do not see them because they're on the phone. Now you can see them on your phone, so whatever. Notice they follow him. It's very important to this entire passage of Scripture that we realize we're following him. Why? Because they know his voice. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. We know the voice of God. We know the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ. We know the voice of Jesus. We know the voice of the Holy Spirit, or the Spirit of truth. We know that voice when we are children of God. And we follow that voice. In other words, we obey the voice. We're doing what the voice tells us to do. A stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him. Notice carefully, for they know not the voice of strangers. There are a lot of strange voices in the world today that are not the shepherd's voice, the shepherd being the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says God's sheep do not follow the stranger's voices. It amazes me today how many people who call themselves Christians are following voices of strangers. So how do you know it's not the voice of God? Because we have the voice of God. More about that later. They do not know the voice of strangers. That's why they will not follow the stranger. God's sheep follow the good shepherd. Voice of strangers they do not follow. All that came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. So there's three kinds of people mentioned in these verses. Number one, strangers. Number two, thieves. Number two, robbers. Three kinds of people, and they are not there for the welfare of the sheep. They're there for the welfare of themselves. The thief cometh but to steal, to kill, and destroy. They're there for the destruction of the sheep. But there is a safety net for the sheep in the fact that they do not hear the voice of the strangers, the thieves, and the robbers. They will not follow the strangers, the thieves, and the robbers. You say, it looks to me like a lot of sheep are following strangers, thieves, and robbers. It looks that way. But the sheep do not hear the voices of strangers, thieves, and robbers. Jesus said, the good shepherd, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. God offers people in the world an abundant life. That's the deal. When we walk in obedience to his word and in submission to his Holy Spirit, there is an abundant life there. There is a life of peace, and there is a life of joy, no matter what in the world happens. A lady in the church in Pennsylvania, I pastored there for 20 years, was going into the University of Pittsburgh Medical Center, Pitt, for those of you who are cheering for a school. She was having a bone marrow transplant. Now, this is not to scare, it'd be about the prayer request, okay? She was having a bone marrow transplant, and they told her, I asked permission to tell this story. Okay, so some of you are worried about it. I don't do that without, it's not a story, it's a real event. And the nurse came in and she was talking to her while I was in there with her. I was visiting. And the nurse said, you're going to lose all your hair. She said, I don't think so. And the nurse said, yeah, you will, because we're going to give you massive doses of chemotherapy. She said, you're going to lose your hair. She said, I don't think I am. She pulled off her cap. It was already gone. And the nurse said, you know, you have a 5% chance of making this alive. This is back a long time ago, a number of years ago, when they took your bone marrow out, they packed it in horse liniment, and they put it back into your body, still packed in horse liniment. So while your body is trying to get rid of the horse liniment, a lot of people died. And the nurse said, you have a 5% chance of coming out of this thing alive. She said, okay, that's fine. And the nurse repeated that again, and she's like, and Bonnie said, that's fine. And the nurse said, is this your pastor? And she said, yes, it is. She said, would you mind if I talk to him out in the hall? And she said, no, go right ahead. So she and I went out in the hall, and she talked to me. She said, I don't think this lady understands what I'm trying to tell her. I said, yeah, she does. She said, I told her, I said, I heard what you told her. She said, she seems no problem. I said, yeah. If you die, to go to heaven, it's really a lot better place than here. And she looked at me like, is she sure of that? I said, she's sure of that. She's okay with it. You see, no matter what comes into our life, even if it's horrid, horrid news, Christ came that we might have an abundant life. Unsaved people don't understand that. They say, I don't think they understand what's happening here. They say, you don't understand. Yeah. Heaven's fine. Better than here, that's for sure. That we henceforth be no more children carried about by every wind of doctrine and the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. What do those strangers, thieves, and robbers, what are they doing? They have every kind of wind of doctrine. Boy, we are getting loaded with it today. I'm in churches all over the United States of America, except for the far northwest. We've not been there yet. We tried. But every place else we've been. And it just blows my mind sometimes what kind of stuff is coming out in quote-unquote our kind of churches. Every kind of wind of doctrine made up by people that's supposed to be Christianity, that's supposed to be the voice of the shepherd. But when you compare their wind of doctrine to the voice of the shepherd, they don't match. They're not the same. People are hearing the voices of strangers, thieves, and robbers that are winds of doctrine. Tomorrow it'll be a different wind, a different doctrine. This is new truth for Christianity. Like, we haven't had a book for 6,000 years. Notice it says the sleight of men. Have you ever watched a magician work? You've never watched a magician work? I remember one time back a number of years ago, there was a magician who said he was going to make a Statue of Liberty disappear. How many remember that one? Some of you? He didn't. He didn't. Yeah, it looked like he did, Phil. It looked like it disappeared. Of course, you're watching on television. You weren't there. But the people that were sitting there said it did, you know, but it didn't. We were in another lake, Indiana, which is where Jan's folks used to live when they were alive, and they had Christian Magicians Conference come in. And this guy was using an illustration about doves, like being the Holy Spirit. And you don't know where it comes from or whither it goeth. And out of nowhere, doves appeared. And he stuck them in a cage in front of him. And another dove would appear, and he'd stick it in the cage in front of him. And another dove would appear and stick it in the cage in front of him. And then he covered the cage with a cloth and picked the cage up and threw it up in the air, and he caught the cloth as it came down. And there was no cage and there were no birds. You know what it's called? Sleight of men. You know, a lot of times what people make something appear to be is not at all what it is. It's called sleight of men. Sleight of men. Have you ever watched one of those magicians saw a lady in half? But she's still in one piece and there's no blood dripping out of the box. You know, it's like, it's called sleight of men. The wind of doctrine can be the sleight of men. And the purpose is to deceive. That's the purpose of it. They want to deceive us. We look at something and it's like, wow, that's awesome. No, it's sleight of men. It's not awesome. It's not good doctrine. It's a wind of doctrine. It's to lead you into deception. But there were false prophets among the people. Notice very carefully, as there shall be false teachers among you that bring in what? Damnable heresies, denying the Lord, the good shepherd. End result, swift destruction. False teachers, who a lot of times people think are true teachers. They are the esteemed religious leader of our day. Therefore, whatever he says is true. False. Not necessarily. The stranger, the thief, and the robber is a false teacher that bring in damnable heresies. That means heresies that damn people to hell. God does not want people to go to hell. False teachers want people to follow them, and they really don't care where they go. They deny the Lord. The end is swift destruction. We've seen it in our lifetime, those of us who are older. Those of us who are younger, we'll see it in your lifetime. Because it's a sure thing. For many deceivers are entered into the world who claim to be religious leaders, who claim to be lovers of sheep, who claim to be lovers of God. But they confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. This is a deceiver. A person against Christ, that's what Antichrist means here. There is a person, Antichrist, coming. We need to realize there are people that lie to us, want us to believe something that is not true. That's not the good shepherd. And through covetousness, shall they make merchandise of you? What do these deceivers, false teachers, these strangers, these thieves and these robbers, what are they doing here? Notice the word covetousness. They want all that they can get out of you financially. That's their only goal. Not for your spiritual well-being, not for your abundant life here, not for your eternal joys in heaven, but just so that they can see how much money they can get from you. And we've heard of all kind of televangelists and other spiritual leaders who are living in super luxury because they've made merchandise of people just there to see how much they can get out of you. That's what they deceive you for, you know. If you'll send me $10,000, I'll pray over a handkerchief for you and you'll get rich. You will. No, you're going to be minus $10,000. Okay? You're not going to get rich. That's not the way you do it. Okay? The Bible says their judgment lingereth not and their damnation slumbereth not. In other words, the day of God's judgment is going to come and God's going to take care of them. The Apostle Paul said this about the believers in Galatia. He said, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ and to another gospel. Notice the phrase, another gospel. We talked to you this morning about making your own religion. It's another gospel. If you take Christianity and you have to fix it, it's another gospel. It's not the gospel of God. It's not the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's another gospel. Paul said it just... Now, I'm going to rephrase the verse a little bit, okay, so you understand what it means, okay? Paul said, it just blows my mind that you believe this false gospel, that you're not listening to the voice of the shepherd. That's what the word marvel means. It blows my mind. I can't believe you go here. You ought to know better than this. You ought to be following the shepherd. You ought to be following the shepherd's voice. You do not hear the voice of strangers, thieves, and robbers. God's sheep do not hear those voices. Why are you listening to those voices? Another gospel. Why do so many people who call themselves Christians listen to the voice of strangers, thieves, and robbers? Why? The Bible says, they don't hear the voice of strangers, thieves, and robbers. They only hear the voice of the shepherd, if they're really Christians. Why do so many people who claim to be Christians not hear the voice of the shepherd? Why not? Why don't you hear that voice? They're not his sheep. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep. The reason people hear the voice of the strangers, thieves, and robbers is they're not God's sheep. The reason they listen to the false prophets and the deceivers and the sleight of men and every wind of doctrine is because they're not God's sheep. They really have never been born again. They really do not listen for the voice of the shepherd because they don't know the shepherd. The shepherd does not know them. Jesus said, in that day many will say unto me, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Then will he say unto them, I never knew you. Notice, never knew you. They were never believers. They were never his sheep. Never. And that's why they listen to strangers, thieves, robbers, false teachers, every wind of doctrine, and those who make merchandise of them. We have a good shepherd. The good shepherd says, I lay down my life for the sheep. The reason Jesus died on the cross was because he loves you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And Jesus said, ye are my friends. We have that kind of a shepherd. He's a good shepherd. He's not there for our destruction. He's there for our joy, for the abundance of our life. That's why he's there. Let me give you a little background to this passage of Scripture so it'll help you. There was a priest by the name of Eli, and he had some sons, Hophni and Phinehas. And they were called sons of Belial. It does not mean that they were not Eli's sons. This is a word that is used in Scripture. You'll find it a number of times. And it means they were not worth anything. They were worthless men. Some of the newer translations translate it that way. And they were living in all kind of iniquity. And the people of Israel really were upset with even thinking about having to go to the temple, because you have to pass these two weirdos there. And they were doing all kind of immoral stuff and despised the sacrifice of the Lord and everything else. And God sent some prophets to Eli and said, you need to straighten these boys out. Finally, God sent some prophets and says, because you won't straighten the boys up, I'm going to kill the two of them. I'm going to kill you. I'm going to kill your whole family. These two sons were leaders, spiritual leaders in the nation of Israel. But they had a problem. They didn't know the Lord. They didn't know God. In the United States of America today, we have gigantic spiritual leaders who do not know God. They don't know Him. They don't know His voice. They don't know what He said. They don't know that they can't change what He said. And that's why some people don't hear the voice of the shepherd, because they don't know God. They profess to know Him, but by works they deny Him, being disobedient and reprobate unto every good work. They're just not His sheep. They don't hear His voice. They hear the voice of strangers, thieves, robbers, false teachers, every wind of doctrine, and those who would make merchandise of them, but they don't hear the voice of the shepherd because they're not His sheep. And they don't know God. They don't know the shepherd. Howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, is come. Now this word is used interchangeably with other words in the Scripture, and I'm sure most of you are aware of that. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost. Talking about the Holy Spirit has come. Says, and He will guide you into all truth. Now we're talking about, how do I know the voice of the shepherd? Number one. The Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit of God. That is the voice of God today. Believers receive the Holy Spirit of God when they accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, and He is a voice within us. And when we listen to His voice, we walk in the truth, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Free from error, free from the destruction of the false teachers and the false prophets and those who would make merchandise of you. The truth sets you free. It gives you protection because the shepherd protects his sheep. And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when you turn to the right hand or to the left. How does the voice of the Holy Spirit work? You hear a voice behind you. Let me illustrate it. Suppose I decided that I'm a little short on cash and I'm going to rob the bank downtown tomorrow. Anybody work at the bank? Okay, good. I don't have to kill you tomorrow while I'm robbing the bank. Okay? So I'm going to rob the bank tomorrow. The Holy Spirit says, thou shalt not steal. Right? That's what he says. That verse pops into my mind. That's the voice of the shepherd. He said, no, Mel, you can't do that. Suppose there's somebody that I really don't like a whole lot, and I think I'm just going to kill them. I'll blow their brains out. The Holy Spirit says, thou shalt not kill. That verse pops into my mind. Oh. Suppose I decided to steal somebody else's wife. The Holy Spirit says, thou shalt not commit adultery. It's complicated, isn't it? When you and I are praying about something, the Holy Spirit will make us remember verses that we have learned in church, in Sunday school, and in the Christian school. And if the Holy Spirit makes that verse pop into your mind, that's the Holy Spirit, that's the shepherd talking to you, and he's saying no, or he's saying yes. Should I share the gospel with my neighbor that lives across the street that I've never invited to church at Grace Bible Church? Well, I'm going to pray about that. Do I have to pray about that? Okay, I'm praying about it anyway. Holy Spirit says, go. Psalm 32:8, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Now, I know none of you parents have ever had to do this, but Mel had to do it. He had two little girls. They're both grown now. But sometimes you get that kid and you look, say, look me in the eye. Right? Look me in the eye. And you talk to them. They don't want to look you in the eye. You know, I don't think I want to do that. Look in my eyes. And you look right into their eyes. And you talk. If we really want direction from God, we have to look into his face. We have to look him in the eye and say, God, what do you want me to do? What do you want to tell me? Am I doing something wrong? Am I doing something right? But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. How does the Holy Spirit work? He makes truth come into your mind. That's the voice of the shepherd. When you bury that truth, when you chase it away, when you grieve the Holy Spirit of God, when you quench the Holy Spirit of God, you're resisting the voice of the shepherd who loved you, died for you, who wants you to have an abundant life. You're not responding to the voice. You're acting like an unbeliever. You're acting like a person that doesn't know God. Because God's sheep hear his voice and they follow him. They will not follow the stranger, for they do not know the voice of the stranger. It's a strange voice. He brings all things to our remembrance. Sometimes I've talked to people about going out and sharing their faith with their neighbors and their friends and their relatives. And they say, well, I really don't know what to say. Well, what did God do in your life when he accepted you as his child? When you became one of his sheep, one of his lambs? What happened? Tell them they're a sinner. Tell them they need to accept Christ as their Savior. He died on the cross for them. Repentance unto salvation. Tell them all that stuff. And they go out and they say, boy, you wouldn't believe all the verses I remembered while I was doing that. I never even thought I knew those verses. That's because that's what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit makes things pop into our mind that gives us direction of where God wants us to go, what he wants us to do, what he doesn't want us to do. And we're asking God for wisdom. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given to him. When we're asking for wisdom, God will help wisdom to pop into our head. All of a sudden, oh, it just pops in there. It comes out of our remembrance through the work of the Holy Spirit of God. That's how he teaches us all things, through our remembrance. The voice of the shepherd. Do you hear the voice of the shepherd? The shepherd is the Lord Jesus Christ, who loved you, who died on the cross for your sins. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man laid down his life for his friends. And he said, I am the good shepherd. And that's what I did for you. God's sheep do not hear the voice of strangers, thieves, and robbers. They hear the voice of the shepherd. And it comes in the Word of God, the Bible. You have one. If not, you can get one. The Bible. The Bible is God's voice. And everything it says there is God's voice. Sometimes it says, do this. And sometimes it says, don't do this. Sometimes it says, go here. And sometimes it says, don't go there. But it is the Word of God. in conjunction 100% of the time with the Holy Spirit. Sometimes people come up to me and said, the Holy Spirit told me to do such and so, and I'm like, I can give you five verses why I can tell you that the Holy Spirit didn't tell you to do that. And they're like, no. If the Bible disagrees, quote unquote, with what the Holy Spirit said to you, then it wasn't the Holy Spirit that spoke to you, it was some other kind of a spirit. Because the Holy Spirit will never, ever, ever disagree in one iota with the Word of God. It just never will happen. When it seems that there is disagreement, you always go here. Because what you heard from supposedly, is not what you heard. Easy question this morning, and I'm done. Do you hear the voice of the shepherd? You're a sheep. If you're a sheep, you hear his voice. If you're listening to all kind of other voices, strangers, thieves, robbers, false teachers, every sleight of wind and doctrine that comes by, those that would make merchandise of you, you really need to check up and make sure you're one of God's sheep, because his sheep hear his voice and they follow him. A stranger will they not follow, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Pastor?
Let's bow our heads, please. Heard a tremendous message this morning, and I wonder if there's someone here this morning that said, I haven't been listening to the voice of the shepherd. I've been listening to my own voice. And I realize that I need to trust in Jesus Christ this morning. Is there anyone here like that? Simply slip up your hand. My prayer for you will not save you, but my desire is that you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Hear His voice. If you're a Christian here, I pray that you've been listening to the voice of the shepherd and the Word of God. As Brother Wingrove said, sometimes people say, well, the Holy Spirit told me to do this, but it's completely contrary to the Word of God. You need to forget that and go anchor your soul to the precious Word of God. I pray as Christians that may be here today that you would anchor your soul to the Word of God and that you would hear His Word as He speaks to you. Our precious Heavenly Father, we thank You for the message that we've heard this morning. My sheep hear My voice, and they follow Me. No exceptions. No, there's some that do so their own thing. They're okay. No, that's not what Your Word says. My sheep hear My voice, and they follow Me. Those that are following other voices are not the Lord's sheep. So, Father, I pray that Your Holy Spirit would work in hearts and lives today of those who may be just following their own voice or other voices, but not following the voice of the shepherd. And I pray that You might bring them to that realization sooner rather than later. Lord, there are some that don't know how much time they have. They're just one step from eternity. And I pray, Father, that there would be a yearning in their heart to hear Thy voice and to come to Thee before it's too late. Father, we thank You for Your gentleness, Your kindness, Your mercy, Your grace. For the call of the gospel goes out over and over again. But it's up to individual hearts to receive it, to accept the truth that You've presented. And I pray, dear Lord, that You would work in hearts today and draw precious souls unto Yourself. We ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.